This morning, I get the opportunity to teach you class. As I've said before, this is a class. I'm not preaching to you. We're doing this together. So I expect people to ask questions, people to speak up, read. If you don't, if it's too quiet in here, I'm going to start picking on y'all to answer questions like they do in class. Teachers, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you got to engage the classroom. This is a class. We're here for all of us to learn together. Now, this morning, I want to talk about something that I feel like it's very important. Sometimes we kind of forget about it. It becomes expected. Brothers Roy's prayer is very fitting this morning. First thing he started off with was giving thanks. It's something that we sometimes forget to do with many things. As you grow up, what's something your parents try to teach you? Manners, right? Try to teach you manners. You say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Don't put your elbows on the table. Don't chew with your mouth open. But what's another thing you teach your kids to say? What? Thank you. Please and thank you, right? As she grows up, you're going to try to instill that on her. Parents say, why is it important to say thank you? You show gratitude, is it not? If somebody does something for you, the best thing to do is say thank you. All of us who have children, there have been times we give our kids something, and instead of saying thank you, what do? Run off with it, or turn up your nose at it, or don't even say anything, just like, whatever. How does that make you feel as a parent? You're like, that's not, you know, it doesn't feel good. So I want to talk about this morning is about being thankful. As Brother Royce had mentioned earlier in his prayer, we live in the United States of America. Honestly, probably the richest country in the nation. Now, it's a fact. Think about it. There are so many people in the world that do with so little every day. We live in a country of abundance. It is ridiculous the amount of abundance we have. Quick show of hands. How many of you last month or the month before watched or even kept up with the World Cup at all? Soccer. Some of you did. There you go. I'm not talking about the soccer part of the aspect of it, but the people that visited the country. Many of y'all see those videos of how foreigners came here and saw the United States and the abundance we have, and they're just blown away by everything. By everything we have, the access of everything we have. It really is true. We live in a country that we are blessed beyond many people's wildest dreams. How many of you this morning ate breakfast? I'm sure all of you had access to breakfast. Some of you didn't eat breakfast, probably because you didn't want to. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I normally don't eat breakfast. But I had food available. How many of you drove here or had somebody drive you here? I'm pretty sure almost everybody drove here. Maybe a few maybe walk here. Even if you did walk here, how many of you were able to walk here, have the health to be able to walk here? There's so many things that we, not just as Americans, but as people have to be thankful for, especially as Christians. I want everybody to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. First Thessalonians 5:18. Somebody has it, please read it.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, brother. It says, in everything give thanks. Not just some things, not just a few things, not just the good things. In everything you give thanks. Why do we give thanks? What does the rest of it say? For this is the will of God. You know, as a parent, again, we expect our children to show some sort of gratitude for all the things we do. You feed your children, you clothe your children, you house your children, you protect your children, you help your children grow. We do so much for our children, and we do it happily because they're our children. But to some extent, we expect some sort of gratitude. We know our children can never repay everything we do for us. I can never repay everything my parents did for me, even now, as an adult. I'll never be able to. It's just everything they've given me, everything they sacrificed for me. The least I can do is show some sort of gratitude. Just simple two words go a long way, do they not? Thank you. Sometimes that's all we want. Just a show of appreciation that you acknowledge on your end that I have done something for you that I did not have to do. I did something for you that I did out of the goodness of my heart, or because I love you, or because I care about you. The same way it should be for everything God does for us. God is considered our what? Our Father, correct? And as such, should we not be thankful for everything he does for us? When's the last time you thank God for anything he gave you? I know in prayers we always say, thank you, Lord, for our blessings, or thank you, Lord, for this, and thank you, Lord, for that. But sometimes I feel like when we say things, they're just kind of hollow. It's just repetition, or it's just something we are used to saying. When we give thanks, though, it should be a feeling of thanks. It should be a feeling of true gratitude, because honestly, we are very blessed, just like our children sometimes. And the reason I say this, our children sometimes don't show appreciation because they're used to getting a lot of this stuff. Think about it. My children, my daughter, Felicity, yesterday, the day before was her birthday, turned 6. Of course, she had presents. And of course, birthday party. And she had many things. She had a lot of fun. She was very blessed with friends and family and presents and all that good stuff. Now, one thing I do appreciate about Felicity, she is one of the few kids I've ever seen who is truly grateful for almost everything she gets. Those of you that were there yesterday, I think Rachel, you saw. She was so grateful for every single thing that she got. Like, very excited, giving hugs, thank you. We had one Christmas one year where all the grandkids were together on my side of the family. Of course, you have kids from Faye's age. She was about 3 at the time, to teenagers. And the teenagers got their stuff. Oh, yeah, cool, I got this. Faye got a small toy phone. That's right. I still remember what it was. And she thought it was the greatest thing in the whole world. Like, to her, that was the best gift she had ever received. She was so happy. And my dad, her grandfather, looked at her and she goes, that's how you should be thankful for. It was a very small toy. It wasn't even the best toy she had, but she appreciated it so much. And that, I feel like, is the way we should be when God gives us anything. Just so thankful and grateful. But what happens is sometimes we get used to all these things we get. Benjamin, my son, I'm not saying he's a bad kid or anything. He's a great kid. I love him. But sometimes you'll give him something, he's like, oh, cool, thank you, kind of, because he's used to getting so many things. He has so many things. He lives... he is blessed to have parents that are able to dote on him. And we, as Christians, but here in this country, we are blessed to live in a country that we have access to anything and everything we need. And if we don't, we have programs to help you. We have family that helps us. We have a congregation, which is something I love about this congregation, very willing to help a brother or a sister in need. But I feel like sometimes we forget to be thankful for those things. We truly forget how blessed we are. Have any of you ever visited outside the country? Let's say, I know some people have gone mission trips before. Any of you ever, just very close by, Mexico? Have you ever been on a mission trip to Mexico? Okay. Brother, have you seen how our brothers live over there? Have you seen how our brothers live over there? You want to expand a little bit on that?
We went to a place, missionary work,
yeah, and they live with much less means than we have, do we not?
Yeah.
Do they not? I mean, much less. And yet they are, I've met people like this before in Mexico, they are people that are so grateful and thankful for what they do have. And like brother said, willing to share the little they do have. Sometimes I feel like we forget how truly blessed we are. things that we take for granted every day that we have that we don't realize is a blessing, a luxury even. Think about it. You have running water in your home. Right, you have a fridge. You have a home that'll heat you if you need it. And even though those of us here in this country consider and live under the poverty level, still are much better off than other people in other countries. We are a nation of abundance, of blessings, and that's all thanks to who? To God. You ever thought about the statistics I looked at one time? It's ridiculous statistics. That you were born in this country, in this time, in this day and age, so many things could change in the past. Your parents might have never met. Your grandparents might have never met. Or you might have been born in a different country altogether. But no, you were born here. You live here. You work here. You have family here. In a nation that just has to give. I'm not saying the U.S. is a greatest nation, per se, as far as the way people live sometimes. But we are a nation of blessings. Don't get that confused. We are a nation of abundance and in excess sometimes. And we sometimes forget to be thankful for those things that God has given us day in and day out. He gives and gives and gives. And sometimes all we do is just take and take and take. Who do we give thanks to? Who should we give thanks to? Somebody turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I'm sorry, Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verse 1. Somebody has it, go ahead and read it, please.
Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare.
For we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. So, do we give thanks to God? When you wake up in the morning, what is your first thought? Is it, I got to get up, I got to get ready, I got to get ready for work, I got to get ready for school, I got to get the kids ready to go, I got to make breakfast, I got to do this, I got this launcher? Or do we get up and say, thank you, Lord, for another day of life? The brother Eric says here, if you didn't hear, he goes, thank you, Lord, because I woke up this morning. There are many people that didn't wake up this morning. Am I right? Maybe people we know. They didn't wake up this morning. There is something to always be thankful and grateful for. Very quickly, somebody tell me something you're thankful for. Anybody? I'm sorry, say that again.
The congregation here.
The congregation here. There you go. Right here, Brother Leon. Thank you for salvation. Somebody else?
My kids are faithful.
Your kids are faithful. That's a great one right there. Sister Anna? The summertime produce. The peaches are so sweet. Anybody else? Everybody here should have something to be thankful for. I'm not going to make all of you do it. But think about it. God gives us literally everything. There is nothing that you have that is yours because you earned it. Some people think, what are you talking about? I work for this stuff. Yes, you do. And a lot of you are very hardworking. I'm sure all of you are very hardworking people. But you have that job. Why? Well, by my own merits. Yeah, but I feel like you might have had some help along the way. You have that job. You're able to work that job because you have health. You're able to get up this morning. You're able to go to work. You're able to provide for your family. Those are all blessings that we just take for granted sometimes. God literally gives us everything, from our health to our food. We mentioned earlier the clean water you have access to. All of us have a shelter we call home, roof over our heads, clothing to wear. It's never ending, the things that God gives us for. And a lot of times all he asks for is a simple thank you. Of course, I think it can also be more than just words. It's also actions. He does expect us to do what he says, do we not? As parents, again, you expect your children to do what you ask of them at home, do you not? Yes, I'm giving you all these things. I'm providing for you these things. You should at the very least do what I ask you to do. And it's not, we're not asking our children to do crazy things. I'm not asking Benjamin, who is 9 years old, to go re-roof my roof at the home. Sometimes I'll be like, go mow the lawn. He's old enough, he can do it. That's the same for God. He asks us to sometimes just do things we can do. All he asks of you is to try your best. We will never be perfect. We will never be 100% right or good. But he expects us to try. That's all he wants from us. A simple effort, and again, a show of gratitude for everything he gives you. When is the last time, again, I'll talk about parents because it's very fitting, that your child said thank you for anything? Can you remember? That's true. How did it make you feel as a mother when your child just thanked you for something you do for him pretty much every day? And here's the thing. I feel like, especially as young Christians, whenever you're first baptized, a lot of times you're very excited, very willing, very gung-ho, you could say, to let's do this kind of thing. And we're very thankful, and we're very grateful, and we strive to do better. But as we continue on as Christians, our lives, first year, second year, fifth, 10th, 20th, there's some here 40, 50 years Christians, sometimes I feel like we become complacent. We kind of forget that joy that we used to feel at the beginning. Just like children, at first, a child, everything is great to them. They love everything you do for them. They love everything you give them, and they're always very thankful. But as they get older, as they get more and more, they become kind of complacent, and those thank yous become more and more far spread apart. In fact, that's what happens to us sometimes as Christians, as we get older, and just as people in general. We kind of forget, and honestly, sometimes it becomes almost like expectant or demanding, like, you should be giving me these things. Children will do that sometimes, like, you're my parent, you should be giving me these things. I don't have to give you anything. Law says I have to just keep you alive. That's it. We do what we do because we love you. We do what we do because I see you and I want to give you and I want to protect you and I want to love you. I will say this. Say it from my point of view, from my experience. Saying thank you goes a long way, especially for me. If I do something for you, I don't expect you to do something for me. That's not why I do it. I do it because I want to do it. I do it because I like to do it. But if you say thank you to me and show true appreciation and gratitude, I am almost 100% certain to do it again for you just because you showed that appreciation. Just because you said thank you. I'll tell my wife this. I'm going to kind of brag on my wife a little bit here. She is a wonderful woman, wonderful mother, wonderful wife, wonderful Christian. One of the things I love about her is how grateful she is for the things I do around the house for her. I mean, I will help her with dishes or laundry or with the kids or getting ready, whatever it is. And she is always very thankful, very grateful. Thank you so much for helping me. She doesn't have to tell me thank you. I mean, I feel like it's part of a husband. I should help around sometimes. But always so thankful. Small things, big things. She shows the same appreciation regardless. It makes me want to continue doing those things for her. Every single time she says thank you to me, it's another reason for me to keep doing it. Because it makes me feel good when she says thank you. It shows that she sees what I'm doing and appreciates it. And that's the way we should be as Christians. and God gives us something, he does something for us, we should say thank you. We say thank you a lot of times in our prayers. That's why, one reason why it's important to pray all the time. It's a way to talk to God, but it's also a way to show gratitude, to thank him for what he's done for us today. Is it not? And not just today, but every day, since the day we're born to the day we die, he does so much. There's always something to be thankful for. He gives us so many things in this world that we don't even think about. I mentioned food, water, shelter, health, but there's more than that. He shows us love, the love of friends, the love of family, love he himself gives us, the nature around us, the beauty of it. You ever thank him for that? There's so much stuff that we can be grateful for that we sometimes are not. Sometimes we tend to focus on the negative, the things that I don't have. But I don't have this. I don't have that. But you do have this and that. Because there's always somebody worse than you. That is a fact. Always somebody worse than you. So, we give thanks for God always for everything. We should also give thanks for his love. I want to touch on that very quickly. How great is God's love towards us? Somebody, how great is God's love towards us? Anybody?
It has no bounds.
It has no bounds. That is true. Somebody else?
Sacrificial.
It's sacrificial. That's very, very love. Unlimited. Sorry, go ahead, brother.
Unlimited.
It is unlimited. That is true. God's love for us is greater than anybody's love that you'll ever have, including your spouse. Here on earth, those of you that are married, those of us that are married, who should be your number one priority? Well, yes, God, and then your spouse. But here on earth, it's your spouse. Above your children, above your family, above even yourself. Your spouse is your number one priority, should be your number one love, regardless. There's only one person above that. That is God. God's love is even greater than the love your spouse will have for you. And it's shown just in the fact that people get divorced all the time. God's never going to divorce us. He's never going to abandon us. He's never going to leave us. He's always there waiting for us with open arms and an open heart, always willing to take us back, regardless of what we do. Now, that's the way a love should be between husband and wife. Always willing to forgive, always willing to take back. But sometimes that's not the case. It's hard sometimes when there's betrayal of some sort or hurt. It doesn't always work that way. But God's love, though, that is truly boundless, endless, and perfect. And for that, we should be thankful. To have somebody that loves us unconditionally, that loves us beyond imagination. Excuse me. You mentioned God's love is sacrificial. What did God sacrifice for us because of his love? That's it. His son. His own child. Why don't you think about that for a second? Again, parents, we love our children, do we not? We would do anything for our children, would we not? I would give up my life for my child. I'm sure every single parent here would do the same. Now imagine you having to sacrifice your child for somebody else's sake. Could you do it? Would you do it? Honestly, I wouldn't. Especially if it's somebody I don't know. Somebody, let's take it further. Somebody I know is not a good person. I know for a fact are going to return to doing whatever they were doing before I did the sacrifice. I would not do it. I could not do it. I don't think anybody could. Yet here we have God who gave up his only son. Not like he had another one somewhere else. The only one he had. He gave him up for us. For the love that he shows us. And this was something that was planned even before the world was created. He knew when he created the world, when he was in the process of making all this, all the way from the beginning, when he first said those words, "Let there be light," he knew that he was going to have to send his son to die for us on the cross, and a very cruel, cruel death too. It wasn't quick, it wasn't simple, it wasn't fast. It was long, drawn out, terrible. I can't imagine. Just thinking about having to see one of my children go through that just makes me feel terrible. We have a beautiful child right here. Some of you are looking at her. She's very cute. Imagine having to put your child through something like that for somebody else's sake. That's the type of love that God has for us and still does. Day in and day out, I feel like that should at least show a little bit of gratitude on our end for things he does for us. Again, a simple thank you, two words, goes a long way. Goes a very, very long way. It shows appreciation. It shows gratitude. It shows that you acknowledge that somebody has sacrificed something for your sake. But turn to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Somebody please read that.
In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin.
Thank you, brother. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. His only begotten Son. That's how his love was manifested towards us. In willingly giving up his Son, not just giving up on him, but when Christ was on the cross, hanging there, who was with him? Well, two thieves, but besides that, though, who was there with him? Was he standing up there with support of any kind? He was alone. He's completely alone up there. He was nobody there to support him, nobody there to help him. And he suffered all through this, and God watched all this. He saw this, and he allowed all this to happen. Why? Why did he do it? So if we're faithful, we can go back home. It's true. But because he loves us. He shows us a love that nobody else is going to show you. Ever. Not even your parents. Not your spouse. Not your family. Not your friends. Nobody in this world is going to love you the way God loves you. Nobody can. And for that, we should always be thankful and grateful. God loves you more than we can ever imagine, more than we can write down. It's a love that goes beyond everything. And that, I feel like that's hard for us to understand sometimes. We as humans, we try to put everything in a box because that's the way how we make sense of everything. We try to calculate things. We try to measure things. If you love me, you will do this for me. If you love me so much, you'll do that for me, so on and so forth. But God's love is beyond that. And it's very hard for us to understand. That's why I feel like sometimes it's very hard for us to appreciate it. Again, just like a child, how old is she? 10 months. 10-month-old child here. And those of you who have small children, why you have children, small children, do your children understand the love you show them? They don't. They just can't comprehend it. Do they understand the sacrifice you make? Mothers, I'm very in awe of you as mothers, as women in general. You put your body through so much. I've seen it in my wife. You sacrifice everything for them. You sacrifice your body, your health, your sleep, so many things. Do your children understand the love you show to them? Do they understand the sacrifices you've done for them? No. We as men have a hard time to understand that because we just don't go through that. We're appreciative of what you do, but we'll never truly understand what you put yourself through for your children. And that's the way I feel like sometimes God is for us. We don't understand the sacrifices he does. We don't appreciate, and we don't see it all because we just cannot. That is the love that God has for us. And again, a simple thank you goes a long way. As my wife said this morning, Benjamin just telling you thank you for what he did and giving you a hug, how did that make you feel? Great. Wonderful. It acknowledges, even if he doesn't understand and comprehend everything that went into doing what she did, it shows that he is still at least appreciative. Very good point, and thank you. I agree very much on that. Again, thank you. It's not just words as well. It's also action. It's the way we act, the way we behave, and the things we do. One of the ways we show our appreciation to God is by doing what he asks us to do. As Sister Maya said, it should bring us back to him always because... Sorry, Brad, go ahead. Okay, because nobody will ever have your back the way God does. Nobody can. That's a fact. Whenever everybody's gone, whenever everybody abandons you, even your spouse one day will pass away. If your spouse passed away before you, your children will be gone, your family will be gone, you might still have friends, but in the end, it's just you and who? And God. That's who you want. But, Jan, go ahead. Ooh, what is the greatest hindrance to being thankful? That's a good question. I think there's a lot of answers to that.
Time management. Secular responsibilities balanced with what is most important. The principles of a man must work, provide for his family. If we do not sow bountifully, we will not reap bountifully. You have to balance all of that. Action, activity, servitude, sacrifice, I think was what your wife said, or Donna said.
Donna.
That all has to be a part of it. And so the attitude of Thanksgiving is what I kept thinking about as you've been teaching. Is you can tell someone is a thankful person by the way they talk and what they do. An unthankful person doesn't say a lot. They don't do a lot. If they do anything, they do it for themselves, which would be selfishness then.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's a very fundamental. Good question, Leon. You'll spend the rest of your life if your faith will come about. I promise you that.
Sister Anna, then Brother Royce. Go ahead.
Verse 9, it says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted,
Brother Royce.
You know, I think tying kind of what Brian was saying a moment ago is the idea that we need to learn how to prioritize our spiritual values over our physical values. So sometimes that's what will hinder us is when we start focusing too much on, I need this and I want that, and now I've got this and I also want that, which sometimes goes into the mindset of covetousness. You see what somebody else has and I've got to have that too. We don't get the simplest one, the simplest little verses, and yet one of the most challenging verses, in my estimation, in the New Testament, comes in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the things that will keep us away from, that those things will be taken care of. God will take care of those things. It may not be everything we think, but He'll take care of our needs.
That's very true.
Say one more thing.
Go ahead.
And probably because of Leon's sake, I've known preachers that are sound in the pulpit, but terrible in the home. And they've lost all their kids because their dedication was imbalanced. They did not provide for their family, their children. Wives have left preachers because they were not available. Again, going back to seeking first the kingdom of God, that has to be the first principle. But a man who's married and has a wife, she's a priority, is she not? How much attention should she get? Versus if he's a full-time preacher, how much time does he have to minister? Well, I've thought about that in relation to my secular work. I have to work a secular job to provide and to take care. But how much time does Gina still require from me as a man that works a secular job? It's the same principle for a preacher. He has to set boundaries, healthy boundaries. And it's better that we learn to be prioritized, structured, based upon the first principle, am I serving God, loving Him first in all things? So then serving as an elder, anything you do in the church, preacher, deacon, you have to prioritize that around first priority, second priority, and you've got to figure that out. Your family, your children would come right there under God. Then the broader church, and a man has to be very good at time management. So back to the idea of time. How are you managing your time? That shows thanksgiving. If you're willing to get out of bed, make a little extra sacrifice, you may have to sleep less. That shows thanksgiving if you're willing to prioritize. And you may get to a point where you say, I can't do this anymore. I've got to let go of certain things. That makes sense? Especially the secular, the more material things you don't have to have, the voice was saying. I may have to let go of some of that. But don't forsake God.
That's true. I've got about 3 minutes left. All very good points and just shows. I want you to understand that being thankful is very important, especially as Christians, because we are very blessed beyond imagination, especially in this country and this congregation. I've been to many congregations growing up my years all over. And this is one of the most sound, if not the most sound congregation, one of the strongest, if not the strongest I've ever been to. A lot of great love here, a lot of great support, a lot of great leaders, a lot of great teachers, Christians, brothers, sisters, a great family here. I know I can go to anybody here if I ever needed it and ask for help. And they will help me if I need it. And that's such a wonderful thing to have because there are many people that do not have that support. There are many people that do not have that at all. And so that's something we should be thankful for and grateful. And there's so many things. We could go on and on. I mean, the Bible is full of things that you can be thankful for. Your life is full of things to be thankful for. I unfortunately don't have much time, so I'm going to touch on one last thing, and then we'll call it. One last thing I want us to think about is also always be grateful and thankful for God's mercy. Because God's mercy is, again, above and beyond what anybody will ever show you. He has shown it time and time and again with everything He does, with everything He has done, and continues to do. Just one last verse. Psalms 107, verse 1. Psalms 107, verse 1. Somebody read that, please.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Thank you, brother. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures how long? Forever. That's a whole other lesson we could have, just on God's mercy. He has shown it time and time and again. Shown it from time of creation up to now. God shows mercy to us in every single turn, every single time. He's so patient with us, so caring for us. At times when he should show wrath, instead he shows forgiveness and mercy. I mean, there's times he has shown his wrath, but even then, he has shown mercy towards humanity. Great example I like to think about, I like to tell the kids how merciful God is. In the time of Noah, what did God do? He destroyed the entire planet. Everybody gone, except for how many people? Eight. Eight souls were saved because of God's mercy. Of course, they did what he said them to do, but he could have easily just wiped everybody out and just started over if he wanted to. Those eight would have been saved regardless. Instead, he showed mercy and allowed humanity to continue with those eight people. Again, he showed us mercy whenever he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He could have just said, no, you know, never mind, I don't need to do this. But instead, he has done so much for us. He has shown us mercy, and it's mercy that goes on forever. So, how thankful are you for what you have? How thankful are you for who you are, where you are, and for simply just being a Christian? All right, thank you for your time. I guess class is over.